Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I said there's a lot to get to today, guys, wouldn't you? 312-332-3776 is the number if you guys have anything that you'd like to talk about. I'm sure there's a lot of thoughts going through everybody's football minds right now. Bears score 20 fourth quarter points with Nick Foles under center to beat the Falcons. 30-26 is your final. They move to 3-0 on the season. And your first thoughts, fellas?
Woo! Oh, baby. Oh,
I mean, it's a victory Monday, but does this feel like a different type of victory Monday?
Tom,
I think Abdallah's coming into the studio to dance. I don't think you should be dancing on anybody's football grave. Is this?
No. There's no grave.
This is a regardless
it's a celebration.
Regardless of who the quarterback right. is, a 3-0, about to be 4-0. Take that Colts.
But you weren't dancing like this last Sunday or last Monday after they beat the Giants.
Why not? Absolutely.
I don't think that this. I don't. Like, did you see him dance like this last week?
Oh yeah, we celebrate every victory around here. Victory Monday on the Waddle and Sylvie show, of course.
I mean,
you know, Tom, here's why I feel is a little different today.
Something tells me there'll be a call from Greg Braggs at some point today, and something tells me there'll be an even louder call from Mitchell and Displains at some point today.
Oh yeah, you know the bottom line, Tom, is this. How about this? Do you want to go to the playoffs?
Yes, I do.
I do, and I think Abdallah wants to, and I think we now have a realistic shot to A, get to the playoffs, to B, maybe make some noise. You guys want to make some noise in the playoffs?
I'd like to make some noise in the playoffs. I will say this, though, as thrilled as I am that they found a way to come back and beat the Falcons. And I believe the Falcons had a 99.9% win possibility last week in their game against the Cowboys. I believe it was comparable yesterday. I mean, the Falcons pretty much had to do everything they did to even make it possible. Take nothing away from the Bears, but it is uncanny. It's unbelievable. It's unconscionable how the Falcons spit the bit, so to speak, over the last couple of weeks, but in glorious fashion. And I think most of all, again, I don't want to spend 4 hours here today. Sylvie's got the day off for the holiday. Bleck and Abdallah, Chip and Dip, the Hardy Boys, Frank and Joe are in. They're in every day, but you'll hear them hopefully even more so today than before. It's not going to be 4 hours of dancing on Mitch Trubisky's football grave. I mean, that's not what it's. And I would advise, if I was Matt Nagy, I'd advise Mitch to make sure you stay locked in and you stay on top of things, because, you know, if there's one thing about Nick Foles that leaves you itchy and scratchy, it's his inability to stay healthy for a full season. So there may be a time when Mitch is going to be called back in. With that in mind, I mean, this wasn't, for most people, this wasn't a question of if. It was a question of when. Now, I said to Carmen and Yurko a little bit earlier, I asked them, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you that they made the decision to make the change? Like, I'm telling you guys, in week one, when they got deep into the third quarter and it looked bleak, I was really questioning whether or not the decision was going to be made to make the change at that point. I've always felt, and I've never been shy of saying this, that I don't think the coach truly trusts the quarterback to run the offense the way he wants it run. And I think you saw that by some of the changes that Matt Nagy made in terms of the game plan on a week-to-week basis. Taking the ball out of Mitch's hands more by running the football, which is the right decision. Running more from under center, less shotgun where there's all the processing that has to go on. A lot of the pass plays so far in 2 weeks with Mitch under center have been off of play action or off the run fake. So I think that the offense has looked significantly different. I think what you'll see now going forward is what Matt Nagy truly wants to run. And as I said, don't mistake what I'm saying here. I'm not suggesting to you that Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or anybody with a huge resume has just taken over. Now, Nick Foles does have a resume as a Super Bowl winner and Super Bowl MVP, but I'm not telling you that a savior is here. What I'm telling you is you've got a guy that the coaching staff, whether it's Matt Nagy, it's John DeFilippo, it's Bill Lazor, or it's Juan Castillo, they all trust Nick Foles to run the offense as they've always envisioned it because they've worked with him before.
Competent quarterback play. That's what we're asking for, right?
Yes. You're asking for somebody who can be consistent and hopefully consistently good. But as I said earlier, I think the one word to describe Matt Nagy right now is liberated, because now you're finally going to get a chance to see what Matt Nagy's offense truly looks like. Now, you may decide weeks from now you don't like it, but I can tell you to this point, you haven't seen it. You haven't seen truly what he wants to do. And now you're going to, because he's got a quarterback that they trust to go out there and run this offense without having to scheme for him.
Oh, yeah. Matt Nagy got his groove back yesterday. He's like Stella from back in the day. Got his groove back. And if we're here for an overreaction Monday, let's get it
kicked off. You ever see that movie, Waddle?
Stella got her groove back.
Yeah, you see that?
Who was in it?
Tay Diggs, right?
Tay Diggs, I think.
I don't think I've seen it.
You know how Matt Nagy got his groove back? He put in a quarterback who knows how to run an offense. And with that in mind, hey, listen, we're not here for hyperbole, but it's an overreaction Monday. Let's go to Manny in Hobart.
Okay.
Manny, what's up?
Hey, no, I've been watching Bears games for a lot of years. Probably I started watching when Waddle was first playing, and I've never seen a quarterback performance like that. I mean, Josh McCown, I guess, maybe was the closest to where they just absolutely dominated the opposing defense. They were making adjustments. He was basically imposing his will, and I've never seen that from a Bears quarterback. Mitch had flashes of it. Jay seemed always disinterested. He had the talent, but I mean, aside from maybe a couple games from Jim Miller and the Josh McCown, couple games here and there, that's the best performance I've ever seen from a Bears quarterback.
Best performance.
It's small sample sizes, and it's the team photo of best performances is probably not overly impressive. Look, I'm not going to go that far, but again, I think what you saw was somebody that the coach was comfortable with. And again, go back to some of the comments after the game where it was pretty much Nick Foles making suggestions to Matt Nagy about what plays he felt most comfortable with and what plays he thought were going to work best. And again, it's a Falcons defense that was giving up 39 points per game. And they were without three or four of their starters. So let's not suggest that Nick Foles just came onto the field and put it on the 85 Bears. But that's what you're supposed to do. And I think that was part of the frustration. Part of the frustration that led to the change was the fact that they had 6 points at the half against a Falcons defense that was giving up 39 points per game and had three or four starters out. That was the impetus, I think, to make the change is that we can't tolerate this. 6 points against this group. And I think the missed Anthony Miller at the end of the second quarter was just as important in terms of changing Matt Nagy's train of thought and direction as the interception was. And I think at that point he decided that change was necessary and he was going to give his guys a boost, and I'm not surprised at all. On a scale, I said six because it was mid-game. I always thought that it was probably more likely that it would be a change that was going to be made after a game because the offenses will be different. And let's face it, the backup quarterback's not getting a lot of snaps in practice. So you're going to ask Nick Foles to run an offense that's specifically designed for Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, he stepped in, was able to do some of those things. And my guess is there was a lot of ad-libbing that went on as well. And they changed some things up and did some things on the go. But my thought was it was probably after seeing the offense, how it looked in the first week or two, it was probably more likely that the change was going to be made after a game, not mid-game. But look, I don't think it takes... Somebody was asking me about it, about, boy, did Matt Nagy, it did take a lot of balls for him to make that change when he did it. And I said, I think it took a lot of balls for him not to make the change to start the season. Like, I think it probably took more courage for him to go to the gate without the change than to make the change at that particular time. Because he knew he had to continue to devise an offense that really wasn't his offense. He had to tailor it around his quarterback, as opposed to trying to get his quarterback to run his style of offense.
Now, Tom, you said that it's not surprising he made the change. I would say, though, when I saw it take place yesterday, I was surprised because they're 2-0 heading into this game, right? And they win that game, so now they're 3-0. But if you would have told us before the season that the team would be 2-0, and in that third game being 2-0, that's when they decide to flip the two quarterbacks, that to me is a bit surprising.
But Chris, I think it tells you where his mind has been all along. It all went south in a short period of time, so I need to make the change.
Right.
This tells you his mindset all along has been, I'm not 100% confident with what my quarterback is doing. The trust isn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I suggested all along it was a bit of a sham of a quarterback competition. But that's, really, was it a competition at
hindsight.
All? Is it a competition at all when Trubisky faces adversity and finally messes up in a game that they immediately pull the plug? That, to me, is not really standing by the decision you made heading into the season that this is the quarterback to lead this team.
Yeah, I think if you would have had, with the benefit of hindsight, if you would have had a different, more normal offseason,
yeah,
it may have unfolded differently, but the fact that you had no OTAs, you had a limited training camp, you had no preseason games, you had 10 or 11 practices, kind of led into a direction that, even so, I mean, I never changed my prediction, but
you couldn't do it in the first game because then you just look like you made a mistake, right? In the second game, they were up the whole game, so you weren't going to make it, even though they struggled in the second half. The second they were making mistakes in the third game, he went, nope. Well, and went out.
And it's like, I always thought this decision would be made based on desperation and fear of missing the playoffs. I mean, if you're 2-1, you still have a really good shot at getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? But are you desperate when you're down 26-6 against a bad, or was it 26-10?
I will say, of all the games taking place in the noon window, it was a bit surprising that the only team that wasn't making any progress as far as trying to eliminate the lead that they were down from were the Chicago Bears until Foles was put in the game, because we saw the Bills are blowing out the Rams, and then in the second half, here come the Rams running their offense, scoring points.
Well, the change has been made. Whether you expected it now or you expected it later in the season, it has been made. The Bears beat the Falcons 30-26. They advanced to 3-0. There's a lot of improvements still left to be done. I still don't know how damn good this team is, but we will talk about the decision that Matt Nagy made sometime through the third quarter, and Nick Foles has been named their starting quarterback. We'll get to a lot of Nagy sound, and we'll get to your calls as well next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Change has been made. Bears have a new starting quarterback, and it's not just for this week's game against the Colts. I believe everybody is under the impression, and rightfully so, that this is Nick Foles' job for the remainder of the season, barring any type of injury. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts on what you saw yesterday and the decision that was made. Tim's in Roselle. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
There was one pass play that actually made me jump out of my chair and yell yes, and that was just a simple 15 or 20-yard down the right sideline in the flat that Trubisky just could never make, and Foles did it just effortlessly. I thought it was beautiful.
I think it was the throw to Mooney, right? It was it was a cover two. It was a corner route on third down, and I actually believe, isn't there some sound for that, Chris, where – I think Coach Nagy referenced that at some point, that was the key to the game or a key play in things going back in the right direction. And I think that, look, Tim, this is what the offense, he wants it to look like. And I think that it will look significantly different going forward. I've said it for the last couple of weeks. If and when Nick Foles is inserted as your starting quarterback, I think Matt Nagy will then go back to the offense that he's been looking to run here in Chicago since he was hired, and there will be some significant changes. Thank you, Tim, for the call.
Waddle, here's Coach Nagy talking about that play.
That was the best play in the football game, hands down. It's not even close. That was the best play. There's other plays that were good. The last play of the game, you could put right there with it. Obviously, that was a bit, but you don't get to that last play that Anthony catches for a touchdown unless you make that 4th and 6. The reason I say that was the best play was because that's clinic tape for a cover two play. And so we had our chip blocks down below. We had our protection was good. Our timing was good. The route was perfect. The throw was perfect in a crunch time situation. You got to have it fourth and six to extend the game. That was one of my favorite plays of the game. So it was well run and well executed.
You can hear it in his voice. There's a liberation. And again, this is not, I don't care what you think, Abdallah. You can come in here and dance all day you want. This is not about dancing on Mitch Trubisky's football grave. This is about making a decision that the coach thought was the best decision for his football team. And the most important commodity for a head coach who also serves as your game planner and your play caller, the most important relationship is the relationship he has with his quarterback. And the most important commodity is trust. And if the coach doesn't trust the quarterback to run the plays the way that he envisions them, then you have a problem. I think that's going to be the biggest difference that you'll see going forward. And you can hear it in his voice. He just basically described to you in a tight situation what was supposed to happen and then the execution of what was supposed to happen. And that's what gives a coach a buzz. Like, again, I'll go back to the missed throw that Mitch had at the end of the second quarter to Anthony Miller. It's hard as hell to scheme guys open. Matt does a pretty darn good job. You may not like the fact that he doesn't stay committed to the runner he didn't last year, or there's times when he goes off script and does some things that you don't like from your couch at home. I'm in the same boat there. But for the most part, I think he's done a really nice job scripting things, all things considered, this year. He has stayed committed to the run. He took less of the responsibility, or he asked less of Mitch in some of the things, took some of the responsibility away from him. I think you're going to see a different approach, and I think you heard kind of the joy, the subtle joy in his voice when something that he does, he schemes a guy open, that play's got to be made. And he did that for Mitch with Anthony Miller, and Mitch overthrew him. And we've seen that too often, and Mitch just has not been consistent enough with making those throws. Like, Mitchell drop a dime on you every now and again. The throw to Anthony Miller against Detroit was maybe the prettiest throw in the entire NFL in week one. The throw to Anthony Miller against the Giants was beautiful. Anthony Miller didn't catch it. Those moments have happened. Mitch tucking and running for 45 yards to get them in position to score at the end of the first half. Those moments happen, but they don't happen frequently enough, and there's not the trust. And there hasn't been that trust. There hasn't been enough trust. So when he schemes a guy open and the quarterback doesn't hit that play consistently, and we've seen that over the last couple of years, I think that led to Matt's decision to make the change as much as the interception did. And you saw the same play was schemed open with Nick Foles at the end of the game, and this was the game-winning touchdown, and Nick Foles has got pressure in his face. And Nick Foles stands in the pocket, knows where the ball's supposed to go, and oh, by the way, told Anthony Miller when he broke the huddle, I'm going to throw it here. Like, that's football. That's a professional quarterback, and that's what Matt's been looking for. And again, don't get me wrong. It ain't always going to be perfect. Nick Foles got away with a couple of throws. There was a throw that Jimmy Graham eventually caught that should have been picked off earlier. Maybe some of that's rust. Foles hadn't had any snaps. Whatever the case, it ain't going to be perfect, but you've got a professional quarterback that understands where the ball's supposed to go, and 9 times out of 10 will try to get it there.
I thought it was interesting, too, that play, that final touchdown to Miller. He talked about it in the huddle, right? And he told us afterwards that they talked about where Miller should go. But also, if you notice, right before the snap, he's calling the hot route.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he knows, like, here it comes. Like, we talked about it.
Yeah, when he said, depending on the look we get, if we get the right look, we're going to throw this. And if I get that look and I check to it, this is where I'm going to throw it to. Like I said, and this is a crude analogy, but you need a guy that if the offensive play caller and the entire offensive staff has to go inside because they've caught diarrhea, can your quarterback lead you until they come back?
You would hope.
And I think you get the feeling that at the very least you wouldn't be lost with the guy that's out there now. I think this is Judgment Day, isn't it, for a couple of our favorite callers? Bears related. Do we put them on at the same time?
Let's set this up, because truthers stay truthin', okay? So I'm wondering how this goes. Because a guy literally just tweeted to you and I, Waddle, that Foles' completion percentage was 55% and Trubisky's was 59%.
He didn't watch the game. He's just looking at the box score, guys.
I would tell everybody, don't look at the stats. even though the stats say 3 touchdowns, 1 interception for Foles.
Well, it should say 5 touchdowns.
Whatever. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but hold on. We didn't do that for Mitch. So when there were drop touchdown passes, we didn't add those to the Mitch tally. So
I'm just saying.
I don't do that. He had 3 touchdowns yesterday.
That's right. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm just saying, let your eyes be your guide. That's all I would say to the person who just tweeted that.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
So.
And now we go for his redemption.
Mitchell and Displains.
Yeah, I know he's dancing.
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, this is a great day. This has been a culmination happening probably for the last 17 weeks. Chris, I totally agree with you because with regards to the competition, the quarterback competition, it was a ruse. All the talk that they said that he made all these improvements with Trubisky was a completely lie. They knew right away. And I don't understand why Nagy didn't
get started. Mitchell, are you playing celebratory music in the background?
I do have a drum kit, and I will be playing some stuff later on. Okay. But I want to make my point very clear. Here's the bottom line, folks. Nick Foles, to me, is a combination between Jim Miller and Chris Chandler. He has the arm strength. He's tall. He can read a defense. And plus, they feel more confident about him. And he don't need a beta test, Foles. So for all those people that are getting on Foles' case, give me a break. You got the biggest break, the fact that Nagy had the courage, the leadership to pull Trubisky out. And by the way, folks, if Nagy doesn't make that insertion to take Trubisky out and put in Foles, the Bears lose that game, hands down. So what you see is a guy that comes in, he hasn't had a lot of repetitions, we know the story, we've seen this story before, and he totally executes, and they feel it in the huddle, and there's confidence on the offensive side. I'm telling you right now, folks, that Nick Foles, I've been saying this since the day we got him, was the best decision because he's going to basically reinforce and support all the goals and objectives that Nagy wants, and that's what you want with the quarterback. And we got to stop beta testing Trubisky.
All right, Mitchell, I think it's time to touch base with our guy, Greg Braggs, who I know, first and foremost, is most concerned about the Bears getting a W. I know that about Greg. I know he's a Mitchell Trubisky supporter. But he's most concerned with a W, and the Bears got that yesterday. Right, Greg?
That's right. Cut the music, Black. I got to administer this apology to Mitchell and Displains. All right, Mitch, you ready for it?
Okay.
I am dumb. You are smart. You're the best. I'm the worst. I was wrong. You were right. You are very good looking. I am not attractive. That's it. Full stop. I obviously wanted Mitch to get the first shot. He got it. I always said that I thought his leash was going to be short. I was surprised that they pulled him after starting the season 2-0. But that is honestly a credit to Nagy's conviction. If he feels that strongly about it, then make the move.
I agree.
Then the Bears won the game. So you will hear no argument from me.
I will say this to you as well, Greg. You didn't take a victory lap at the season start. When they named Mitch as the starter, and I think you showed some good, some patience, understanding that victory laps, you should wait for 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes. What are you talking about?
I took a couple victory laps.
His victory, he already did 29 miles taking victory laps.
I took a couple, but I tried to stay above that fray. I did say he was going to only have a few game leash. Your guys' leash was longer, but here, I am surprised. I took a few. I don't want to say I didn't take any victory. Mm-hmm. I took a few. Anyway, what you guys have been explaining to me, I did see. Because my biggest question was, if the line was such a mess last year, would Foles be running like a chicken with his head cut off? And Mitch has more mobility. But what I saw in the way Tom Waddle has explained it to me many times in detail is that he executes the offense faster. He gets the ball out of his hands. You saw when Anthony Miller, he hits him in stride to win the game. He throws the guy open. I always wonder when Mitch is throwing downfield, you're watching the game on TV, and guys are blanketed as he's throwing it down the field, and it's such a miracle throw to even try to complete. I want to see guys open downfield. Well, I guess you got to find those guys downfield. So it's completely fair. I'm totally riding with Foles now. The Mitch Trubisky era is over, and obviously short of any kind of injury, nobody's rooting for anything like that. Injuries are part of the game, but I think all Bears fans now need to get their 10 toes down behind Foles, and let's see where this goes. He obviously operates the offense faster. Nagy's more comfortable. You saw it after the first two series or whatever it was. They went right to what Foles is more comfortable with, and then they were Dyson. So, yeah, you want to see it next week with a full week of preparation against a better team. But I'm ready, man. The Bears are 3-0. This is what we want as fans. Black is 100% right. We have a chance to go to the playoffs now. I could care less what happens the next 3 years.
I think you guys are
going to
be best friends. I think you guys, all of you. Thank you, Mitchell and Greg Braggs also. Listen. I think you guys have fought a little bit with Greg more than I have in the past. So maybe I defer to you with regard to whether or not there have been victory laps taken. I think there are several other people that were taking victory laps way too soon. Like, it would have been prudent just to let the season kind of marinate a little bit before anybody took any victory laps about the quarterback.
I don't like that you say that we fight. We don't fight. Abdallah and I give you our honest assessment of what we see in reality, and then there are those who just make things up. And those people who make things up just go about their day thinking that Trubisky's going to be an elite quarterback in the NFL. So I'm not fighting with anybody. If you want to be a Trubisky truther and truth it all up and do what you do, then by all means, enjoy yourself.
Do you feel liberated as well? Like, I think the coaching staff feels liberated today.
I don't feel liberated. I just know that we were right.
If you're going to be a truther, all I got to say is it's probably not going to end well for you.
And I say take that.
Speaking of, with that, Waddle, we have something to play for you coming up in a little bit.
I look forward to that.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right. Change is here. Nick Foles is your quarterback. Chicago Bears fans, Bears are 3-0. How damn good are they? I still don't know. We'll get to that a little bit later. But your thoughts on what has transpired? Matt Nagy met the media today and obviously announced that Nick Foles is your quarterback going forward. We'll play a lot of what Matt had to say, but we want to hear from you as well. 312-332-3776. Louie's in Virginia Beach. Louie, what's happening?
Oh, Tommy, nice to hear from you. How are you guys? Victory Monday, right?
Yes, actually, there's a couple of guys behind the glass dancing. I'm not a good dancer, so I'm not going to do that, but I'm very happy that this team is 3-0. And again, I think you saw the confidence that was instilled in that team, both the offense, and I'll reiterate what somebody said to me at the break. Look, this defense didn't give up a point after the quarterback change was made. So I think it lifted everyone on that field.
It gave them energy. And it came to the basic, you know, the basic things you need to do as a quarterback, which made me giddy. When Nick Foles came in, immediately he tapped Cody Whitehair and let him, hey, middle linebacker's right there. Hey, this guy's here. This is not right. Step back, kill what we're doing, change it something else, and it turned out positive. Yeah. Those are the things that I've been wanting Mitch to do for years if he was going to be successful, and we didn't see that. But in the first couple of snaps, you immediately saw that from Foles, and that I think that gave the team confidence, that gave the coaches confidence, they gave the defense confidence. Hey, it's not all on us now. We have somebody that can, you know, punch on their own on the other side of the ball, and I think that eventually is going to galvanize this team together and give us that push that we want.
Well, I think the wide receivers, and thanks for the call, Louie, I think the receivers know that if they beat the guy across from them and the play is designed to go to them, that the play will ultimately, the ball will be thrown in that direction. It's not going to be 100% completion rate. But I think that there's a confidence that Nick Foles knows where the football is supposed to go. And I always talk about just kind of the intangible of looking the part, looking comfortable playing the position. And I think you get that with Nick Foles. Nick Foles is not the athlete that Mitch is. Now, Nick's a good athlete. Nick was a fantastic basketball player in high school. I mean, he's not a bad athlete, but he's not as nimble and he's not the athlete that Mitch is at time. But if you look at the stat sheets, which I told you to ignore mostly, but use your eyes and the stats, you'll see that Nick was not sacked at all. Now, some of that is, as I've always talked about, is there are times when you watch the film and you scratch your head and you're like, why is Mitch shuffling in that direction? Mitch is shuffling into pressure. Well, I think that just the subtle nuances of understanding the position and being good at it, and I think that you'll see those more frequently with Nick Foles, who will shuffle away from pressure at times. He'll climb the pocket when necessary, and he knows where to go with the football. So it just looks different. Again, it won't look perfect, but it will look more comfortable, I think. It'll look more normal and more natural, I think, is the best way that I can describe it. Eddie's in Hoffman States. Eddie, what's happening?
How's it going?
Good.
I thought we would win. I feared Atlanta's that is like that meme, like hold my beer, like I'm going to mess things up. I'm just surprised how they won. Like, I thought it'd be like a defensive stop or something. I was just impressed. I can't remember when we scored 30 points.
Last time they scored 30 points, didn't they score 30 points against the Dallas Cowboys last year in a win at Soldier Field? I think was the last time they scored 30.
Was that with defensive touchdowns, or was that straight up?
No, I think that was straight up offense. Remember, the Cowboys came to town, and it was a nationally televised game. I don't know if it was Thursday.
It was a Monday. Ditka game.
No, it was what?
The Ditka game.
No. This was last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I must have forgotten that. I was just very impressed that, we've heard about what an offense is, that we actually got to see it after so long. It's just like, that's what that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Eddie, and thanks for the call. I think the offensive line is going to have to play better. I didn't think the offensive line had a great day. They ran the ball for 130 yards, but 45 of those yards were Mitch scrambling at the end of the first half. So I didn't think they had a great day. I thought there was more pressure in this game than there was the previous two games. And again, this is a Falcons defense that was giving up 400-something yards and 39 points per game. And all the Bears could do was scratch a field goal and a late touchdown as they went to half. So I shouldn't be shocked that the change ultimately was made. Justin's in LaGrange. Justin, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just have a question to ask. You know how in the New Orleans Saints, they use Hill, quarterback, but he plays multiple positions. You guys think the Chicago Bears are smart enough to use Trubisky to save his value and also get him experience as an NFL player other than quarterback so he can have some type of knowledge on how the ball maybe should be thrown into tight ends or receivers if he, you know, gets the experience running down the field, running routes. I think he's an athlete, as we all can agree. So we should use his abilities to help us continue to be the team that we could be. Don't just sit him on the sideline.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Justin. Look, I've resisted the thought that he's the same type of athlete as Taysom Hill.
Do you think Trubisky will be better if he learns what balls are supposed to look like when they're coming at him as opposed to throw?
They're done.
Yeah, I know, right, yeah.
They're done. Like, they're never done coaching guys.
No.
But, like, they're done trying to get the best out of him. Their focus now is on getting Nick Foles up to speed with the guys, the other 10 guys in his offensive huddle. That's what they're focusing on.
Trubisky was still throwing ducks yesterday, and as soon as Foles came in, that spiral was tight.
You liked it, huh?
Tight!
Chris, do you have a little something that you want to play for everybody?
Let's talk to some more people. We'll play it when we come back.
Peter's in Miami. Peter.
Guys, how's it going?
Obviously, it's a very excited crew today as the Bears win 30-26 and move to 3-0.
Tight spirals.
Really great.
As it should be. We've been advocating for this for a while. You know, the reason my call is today is not to to bash Mitch. You know, when the game was going on and Fox was showing him way too much, it was becoming uncomfortable. I felt really bad for the guy. It's not his fault he's bad. It's not his fault. Someone else brought him here. It's not his fault.
It's not his fault that he was drafted second overall and ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. I'll say this too, Peter. Like, I mean, I understand you don't get credit for extra credit for not. I tell my kids, you don't get extra credit for not doing drugs. You don't get extra credit for being an adult and a professional. But there are a lot of turds out there, and he handled that situation at the end of the game like a professional. And I do appreciate that from him.
And you know what? I appreciate that, too, because, you know, he's representing our team, and that's what he should have been. It's not his fault. He is a good guy. But you know what? When it comes to business, when it comes to work, it doesn't always work the way it is being a good guy. You have to be good at what you do. He's not. It's not his fault, though.
Listen, Peter, too, here's the deal. Matt Nagy came here to run his offense. To run an offense that's supposed to look like the Kansas City offense and like the Eagles offense. And again, The Bears don't have the same weapons as the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick Foles isn't going to morph into Patrick Mahomes, everybody. But Matt Nagy came here wanting to do something specific. He hasn't been able to do it for 2 years. Understand the frustration. And again, I'm not absolving him of the mistakes he has made. Because part of being a really good coach is adapting to what your talent is capable of doing. And I thought in 2019 he failed in a lot of ways with regard to Mitch. You weren't going to replace Mitch with Chase Daniel. So why not tailor the offense to Mitch and try to take advantage of the things he does do well? And I thought Matt failed at that quite a bit last year. This year, I think you saw him make the adjustment early on, the commitment to running the football. Mitch was under center more frequently. He made the changes that we were all looking for him to make last year to adapt things based on the guy that was under center for him. Imagine the frustration that you finally get this opportunity and you're thrilled, but you can't actually install or run what it is that they've hired you to actually run. You're going to see that now. You may not like it. It may not be perfect. They're not going to look like the Chiefs, but you're finally going to get a view, a consistent view of who Matt Nagy is as a play caller and as a guy that will design an offense and a game plan on a week-in and week-out basis. He's finally going to get an opportunity to do what he was hired to do here. And I think that he's, like I said earlier, the best word, in my opinion, and again, it's not a shot at Mitch, the best word to describe how Matt Nagy's probably feeling today is liberated. He can finally try and execute this offense as his visions probably were defined in that meeting with Ryan Pace several years ago.
He got his groove back. He finished reading Eat, Pray, Love, and now he just feels better about the world.
Wouldn't you be excited if you felt like you had an opportunity now to do the things that you've been brought here to do?
Like a weight has been lifted off his shoulder.
Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
More of your calls when we come back. This hour is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It is a Bears Victory Monday, and Bears Monday brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Bears score 20 fourth quarter points and just another collapse of the Atlanta Falcons. I give the Bears all the credit in the world. Nick Foles takes over and the Bears come back and win this game 30-26. I don't know how the Falcons are handling what has happened to them over the last couple of weeks, but just crazy. I don't want to kill anybody's buzz, but there are some things to clean up. The defense gave up 144 rushing yards. They gave up 26 points and over 370 yards. I did see some good things. The pass rush was there. They're going to have to tighten some things up if they're going to ultimately get to where they want to go. But today is more about the quarterback change. Nick Foles is your quarterback. Mike's in Edison Park. Mike, welcome to the program.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, it's about time, man, really. I know that Foles isn't Tom Brady or Mahomes or any of those guys, but I'm just kind of like, I'm excited to see the level that we're going to be able to possibly reach with having a veteran Super Bowl champion quarterback who's been there. Yeah, he's not a scrambler like Trubisky, but, you know, he's a pocket passer. He knows. He's got a sense of intelligence. Like, Mitch was never able to really read defenses and just know the perfect throws to make at the right time. Like, you know, I knew from day one he wasn't a franchise quarterback. Like, you know, if he's a second stringer, great. I like the kid. He's a class act, and he's a hell of an athlete. He might be like a Tim Tebow. Like, but, I mean, I'm just happy right now that we have somebody, and it finally took long enough to whereas, like, we're going to be able to see the potential that we have as a team. The defense, in my opinion, ever since Fangio left, is soft. I'm not a fan of the play calling. I think they're giving up way too many passing yards. They just look soft up the middle and everything. But Waddle, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
And, first off, I think you'd make a great coach, you know, at least an assistant on some level, at the very least. You're very knowledgeable, man. I'm sure some college school would love you, if not an NFL team. You know, you're very knowledgeable. And why I want to ask you, with Foles at quarterback and with this defense that we have and what you have seen, and I want you to be honest with me. I don't want to take I don't know for an answer or anything. I want you to be a straight shooter on this. Do you think this team can they compete in the NFC, and can they compete for a Super Bowl?
Right now, thanks for the call, Mike, and thanks for the nice words. I don't believe this is a Super Bowl caliber team right now. I know we're all giddy with happiness that a change has been made, but this right now still, I'm not willing to move off of my 8-8, 9-7 prediction. Again, the defense has the capacity and the potential to be a destructive group. They've got to tighten some things up. I mean, you were a drop pass away from losing to the Lions and a really horrible day from our defense. Last week, the game was still in the balance on the final play of the game. And I saw a better defensive effort against the Giants. But again, this is a pretty potent Falcons offense, but they were without Julio Jones. They were without one of their starting tackles. And they gave up 371 yards, 26 points, and 144 rushing yards and on over 5.5 yards per carry. You got to clean that up. I like what I see from Khalil Mack. I love what I see from Akeem Hicks. I think Robert Quinn will become even more vicious as he gets healthy and as time goes on. I'm expecting this defense to be better, but right now, like I would, I'm not ready to predict any type of greatness. I would say this with regard to the quarterback as well. Every Sunday has been like, this is the analogy. I've made some bad analogies today. I'll give you another one, okay? When the game kicks off, I feel like I'm riding in the flatbed of a pickup truck down the highway going 70. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some really cool moments, but there's also, like, if the driver swerves, I'm out of the back and I'm rolling down the Edens. Like, it's dangerous. There's questions. Like, I'm never at ease. Like, have you ever been in the back of a pickup on a highway? It's not legal. So you probably broke the law when you did it. You're looking at me quizzically, Black. Have you never been in the back of a flatbed, sitting in the back going, okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's exhilarating at times, but it's scary and you want to, like, soil yourself every moment. Like, that's what it is when Mitch is under center. There may be some really cool moments. Like, with Nick Foles, you're riding in the back of a sedan, like this really nice Uber, and you're buckled in. Like, it may not be the most exciting ride in the world, but the likelihood that you're going to get from point A to point B, there's a significantly higher chance that you're going to get there. Again, I'm tired of being in the back of the flatbed going 70 down the Edens. Again, sometimes you get there. Sometimes it's cool. Other times it's dangerous as hell. And that's kind of, you know, that's my second bad analogy of the day, but no, that's how I feel.
I think it's a good one. You know why?
Because, like, I'm going to be sitting on my couch now, watching these games, not waiting for something bad to happen. Like, it may, but, like, I don't know why, as a fan and as someone that has had some experience with the game, I'd feel more at ease knowing that there's somebody that understands the position. It's the most difficult position to play in all of professional sports. It's the most important position in all of professional sports. Like, the coach has to trust that person. And I think there's finally a level of trust that hasn't been there for a couple years.
Now, Abdallah, isn't there a saying in soccer, being on the front foot and not being on the back foot?
Yeah, you always got to be on the front foot.
Like, doesn't it feel like the Bears' offense can now be on the front foot and dictate some policy here?
Yeah, it feels like they can not be on the back foot. I don't know if they're on the front.
You're not as positive about this? Like Waddle just said, he's strapped into the sedan.
Yeah, I'm in a nice sedan and Uber.
He's making
moves. I'm going 65 down the Edens. I'm just not standing in the back of a flatbed.
Yeah, the difference is you're safe. You're not going to fall out of the back of the flatbed.
Correct.
I don't know if you're in a if you're in a new Ford F-150 driving, you know, 100 miles an hour. Like, this isn't – they're not the Ravens. They're not the Chiefs,
no,
okay?
That's my point.
You
have a better chance at being middle of the pack than being in the mid-20s.
Listen, what did I tell you guys for weeks about the offense?
Average.
What did I want?
You nailed it. Average.
That's all I want. So I'm not asking Nick Foles to step in and be Tom Brady or Lamar Jackson or anybody. Just be average.
Is he Russell Wilson?
No.
Is he Lamar Jackson?
No.
Is he Patrick Mahomes?
No.
He doesn't need to be, though.
Is he Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Okay, just be okay.
That's where I set the bar.
Just be okay. That's it.
I want to sit in the back of the sedan with my seatbelt on and not be nauseous.
Maybe it was just the Falcons not being able to do anything.
Could have been.
I'm just saying, the defense looked a little extra pep in their step.
Right now, there's no doubt they didn't give up a point when the quarterback change was made.
Coincidence? Maybe.
I think the change energized everybody, including the fan base. With that said, I think they got their hands full with an improving Colts team on the lakefront on Sunday. But we'll get to that later. And also, I think Chris has got some sound he wants to play. We'll get to that when we come back in two short moments.